What happens when you move out of your smart home? Micah Sargent joins me to explain. And so much more coming up on iOS Today.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by Grammarly. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people improve their writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/iOS today and get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. And by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. Yes, it's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/iOS today. Welcome to iOS Today. Leo Laporte usually sits right there, but he is convening with chickens in Hawaii, spending his vacation, also with his wife and chickens. She's the one posting chickens on Instagram. He's not on Instagram, so we have no idea what he's doing. But thankfully, joining me today is Micah Sargent of the famous chihuahuas.coffee website. Micah, of course, is an Apple expert, a smart home expert. He's the host of the Clockwise podcast, so many podcasts.
Too many.
And a frequent guest and co-host when Leo is away. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here to talk to you about iOS things, kind of. I don't have any chickens, which makes me sad, but I was convening with my my Jigglypuff earlier today on Instagram.
Oh, I removed Instagram from the front page of my smartphone.
My.
I know. And I deleted Twitter from my phone and Poshmark.
Okay, I don't know what Poshmark is. Tell me about Poshmark. What's Poshmark? Or should I know? Is that bad?
Yeah, you should know. And especially since you're moving and probably getting rid of some stuff maybe. But uh-huh. Poshmark is where I sell and buy clothes. It's like a reseller. And I love it. And I'm addicted to it.
Okay.
Because I like the idea of reusing like stuff. I like the idea of when I'm done with clothes that it doesn't end up in a landfill because Goodwill didn't want it. Like someone might actually pay $2. It's not like I'm, making a ton of money, but I like the idea of someone wearing my clothes and I like the idea of wearing other people's clothes.
So it's like a global garage sale app.
Yeah, kind of. Like it's like eBay, but they just have it's addicting.
It's so posh.
Yeah. It's yeah. So there's a lot of scrolling and, stuff and I waste a lot of time on it. So
it gets moved off the front screen.
Mm-hmm. But today, you are about to move homes, and your home currently is covered in smart home stuff, covered in IoT. Yes. You're blanketed in IoT, and you're moving. So we thought, this would be a great topic for what do you do? So let's start. Like, what do you do before? Like, what's the first thing you did when you thought, okay, I am moving. What am I going to do with my fancy smart home?
Panicked. No. So I rent the house that I'm in right now. I'm not a house owner because I'm a millennial and apparently we don't own houses, but,
or anything.
Right. We have destroyed every industry. So because I rent this house, I always talk to the landlord, ahead of time about, hey, would you be cool with me, putting some smart home stuff in, kind of explain how I have history of it and like I know what I'm doing, that kind of thing. And so far, so good in terms of my landlord's being pretty chill about it. And it's just like, hey, as long as everything gets put back the way that it was before you leave, or if something does get damaged, then you're just going to pay for it, then good to go. And so what I usually will do when I move into a new place is whatever gets moved out, whatever gets kind of disconnected or put away or what have you, those things go into boxes and are clearly labeled the whole time that I'm in the house. So that way, when it comes time to move out, then I can find every single thing that I'm looking for. They Ziploc, speaking of a specific brand, because they are the ones that have this kind of bag. They have these quart-sized Ziploc bags that have a flat bottom. And so they're very easy to sort of put things in. And I have them all labeled with, like, this is the kitchen and it is the light switch to the left of blank. And it has all of the little wire nuts that are in there, all the screws, all of this, all of that. And so now as I'm starting to disconnect my smart home, I can very easily go into my banker's box and find the Ziploc that has the specific thing and start to reinstall the stuff that I've kind of taken out. For the most part, especially for folks who maybe don't have that opportunity to install things, they have it a little bit easier because you're typically just like unscrewing light bulbs, or you are removing maybe motion sensors that you have stuck to the wall or something like that. So those ones tend to be a little bit easier than the process of sort of disconnecting and reinstalling the original hardware, which ends up being a bit more involved.
So that's a good point. So I'm an old person, so I was promised that owning a home was the answer to financial prosperity and
freedom.
Future.
Right? Yeah,
that was the promise I was made. So when I, whenever I install something, I think about, okay, well, is this going to maybe, like, if I have a Nest instead of an old thermostat, is this going to make my house worth more? So I guess there's the question: if you own the house before you install anything, is it something that you're planning on taking with you when you sell the house or keeping in the
house? Or leaving. Yeah. And I think that that's an important consideration too, in terms of, you know, when you are, if you're doing for sale by owner, then that's your consideration to make on your own. If you're working with a realtor, then you would want to communicate with them about, hey, what do you think here would add value potentially before I, you know, choose what I'm keeping here and what I'm taking out. And another consideration too is like cost benefit analysis on your time. I haven't decided yet whether or not the smart garage door opener I have is going to stay here or if I'm going to take it with me when I go, simply because of how much time it took to install it and the process involved with that. And the place that I'm moving next, I don't have as much space in terms of, like, you know, this is like a, because I live in a more rural place, there's a lot of space. I've got a huge yard. I've got a 2-car garage, et cetera, et cetera. The place that I'm moving is more of a city. And therefore, you know, you don't have the garage. You don't have those kinds of things. And so I don't know the next time I will need a smart garage door opener. And so it's kind of me going, do I want to go through that process of uninstalling it all, reinstalling the original, like, super old one that was here, et cetera. And so again, yeah, those are kind of things that you have to consider for both a realtor situation and for yourself as well. And regardless of whether you're doing a rental unit or you're doing one that you've bought for yourself.
And so you'd have to convince your landlord, like, really, let's compare these two systems. This is much better. And I'll show you how to use it.
Yeah.
And you'll be happy that you have it.
Exactly. And that too would be a situation where I would say, hey, maybe where you thought, you know, you were going to knock off $50 to $100 on my security deposit, check this out. Do you want this? I can uninstall it if you want to, but I think it's going to add value to the home whenever you decide to raise rent for the next people that move in. So that's a back and forth conversation to have as well. And you know, it's fascinating to me too, as kind of an aside, I've noticed that the rental situation in the Midwest, and particularly in Missouri where I live, has been a lot more free and laid back than some of my friends who live in California and who live in bigger cities and things like that. And so I know that I'm kind of spoiled when it comes to that, where I can have that conversation with my landlord, and where it's kind of a one person or a family who owns a property management business versus kind of like a big company that you are, you know, renting your home from. So I have had it easy in that sense. And I think that that's where the stuff that we're talking about and that we'll continue to talk about here almost more applies to someone who has purchased a home rather than someone who's rented a home, because I understand that not everybody has had the situation that I've lucked out to have in the few places that I've rented, where the landlord is kind of laid back about it.
So aside from the garage door opener, is there anything else that you've, like, have you done? I know you have a lot of smart light bulbs, but have you installed any other systems, like smart light systems, stuff that would be harder to take out?
So that's kind of one of the big things. Most of the work that I'm going to have to do and have started doing around the house is the smart in-wall switches and outlets that I have installed. So the good thing is once you know how to do it, it's just working the process in reverse. So, you turn the lights off at the breaker box. Then you uninstall the thing that you have installed and you reinstall the old stuff. It is a little bit difficult. And again, this is where I remember last time I talked about working on electrical stuff on the show. I was very, very, very encouraging to folks listening or watching, if you don't know how to do this stuff, please do not do this stuff. And please hire an electrician because you can very much hurt yourself and it can be fatal. So I just want to get that out there off the top. But depending on the home that you have, newer homes are going to have something called a neutral line as well. There's the line, there's the load, there's the ground, and then there's also a neutral line. And the old wiring that was in the house and the light switches in the house, they did not make use of the neutral line. And so they kind of have to be wired off all on their own. And then the normal old school switches that go in only make use of the line and load and the ground. And so it can be a complicated process. And so what I'm saying there is simply one of the biggest suggestions and things that I've come to realize is documentation and taking photographs and really laying out exactly what you did before, how it all looked before you started to set it up, and what you need it to look like kind of after you're done. And that works for the thermostat that I had to take out just yesterday and sort of putting in the old one and getting that ready. And, one of the things that I've come to realize is you kind of have to get to a point where you just decide that you're going to live in a dumb home, as it were. I kept wanting to put it off until the last minute because I'm so happy to live in my smart home and have everything turn on whenever I need it to and be able to control different stuff. And I realized that I didn't want to be scrambling the last week that I'm in this home trying to get everything uninstalled because it's time to go. And for that, I just get a few more weeks of convenience. That's been a big thing for me where I'm like, you know what? Here's how I'm going to do this. I'm unplugging my bridges from my router. So the Hue bridge and the Lutron bridge are unplugged from my router. So I'm kind of already getting used to, or at the time I was getting used to the idea that these things are not available to me anymore. I can't control them. I've got to kind of relearn how to do it the old way. And that made it easier than to sort of pull off the bandage. And, then I was uninstalling the smart thermostat and I was going around and getting things unplugged and put away and getting other things reinstalled. So that's kind of something to watch out for and be aware of is you got to remember what it's like to live in a non-smart home again and be comfortable with doing that and sort of understanding what is an easy last minute thing to take care of and the things that need to be done first, which is going to be the stuff that involves actually, unscrewing things and rewiring stuff. That's going to take some time.
And so have you noticed that there's maybe something you didn't need after all, that you took out and you're like, maybe I won't reinstall that when I get to my new place.
That is a really good question. For the most part, I would say that the things that I would maybe not use are very convenient to uninstall. And so the light strips that I have around the house, I really, really want to smart light strips, but ultimately they're not functional enough for me. I want a light to provide enough color, or not color, but brightness. And I want it to actually light up a room and do more than just paint a wall with color. I have posters and signs and things for that, or literal paint. And so for me, light strips are just kind of not convenient. So that was one of the first things that I actually unplugged. The one that's behind me, it's quite literally fastened to the back of the dresser. So it had nowhere to go. And I just plugged it back in before we started. But I have some running on the back of my televisions as bias lighting. And I didn't really ever turn them on anyway. So those, I think, may not have a future in my smart home. It's certainly not something that, you know, I would actively go out and buy. But the rest of it, really, the most inconvenient things are like the Eve light switch that I have installed in my office. And inconvenient, I mean, in the sense of removing it, of uninstalling it. And I love those light switches because what they do for me is they let me keep the existing lighting that's in the home and just make the on and off process smart. So in each of the bedrooms that are in my home, and this office is technically a bedroom, there is a fan and light fixture that has four lights in it. And I don't know if you've looked, but the candelabra bulbs from Hue are incredibly expensive. And if I didn't have some way to like make the fan itself smart, then there would be no way for me to control that. By just switching the actual switch on the wall out, then I have control over the fan and I have control over the lights, and I can just use regular LED candelabra bulbs that cost much less. So yeah, in terms of things that are like the most difficult to remove, they're my favorite things. The thermostat is another one. I would never want to go back to a home that doesn't have a smart thermostat because it saved me money and it makes it incredibly convenient to make sure the heating is how it needs to be when I need it to be.
And so that comes with you, the thermostat.
Yes, the thermostat will go with me. It is, like I said, genuinely one of my favorite products. And also because, so I use the Ecobee smart thermostat and I have a home kit set up. And the Ecobee is awesome because it uses these little room sensors. And these little sensors, in fact, I'll have one over here. They have built in a temperature, a thermometer, and they have like a motion sensor. And you could put them in different rooms and it will track the temperature in the room and then also know when you are inside of the room as well. And so because of that, you're not just getting the temperature of the hallway where the thermostat is located. It takes an average of the different temperatures in your home, which you can then further set to say, hey, only take an average of the temperatures in my home in the rooms that I'm actually in. That's how it uses the motion sensor, the occupancy sensor. And it combines all of that to sort of blanket your home in like the proper heating or cooling temperature that you're actually looking for. But double that is the fact that each of those little room sensors are HomeKit enabled. So I can actually make use of the thermostat that's built into this and the occupancy sensor that's built into this to provide automations in my house. And also I can go in and say, hey, when I'm not home, the home app will actually use my phone's location. When I'm not home, if the sensor in my office detects movement, let me know about it. And that way I can know, hey, there's somebody moving around my office and my dogs can't get into my office because I have a baby gate up for my office. So that, you know, worries me. There might be somebody in my home, then I can check on the cameras. So yeah, again, super convenient and too awesome. And that's where, like I said, the garage door opener, it's cool to be able to talk to the person who's the thing whose name I can't say because there's a HomePod behind me and say, open up my garage door. But that's kind of all it is. It's cool. It's somewhat convenient, but the work that it took to install it and the work that it would take to uninstall it, I got to check my privilege there, but it's just like, that is a nightmare to me. That's been one of those things where I would rather not only do my own dishes, but like walk around the neighborhood and do everybody's dishes in the neighborhood than start the project that is uninstalling that garage door opener. It's like that last thing on your to-do list where you've done every single thing on your chore list. You've offered to do your mom's chores for her. You've done everybody's everything. And then it's like, okay, finally, I guess I'll do this. I don't know if I want to do it. So we'll see. We'll see if that goes with me or not. I don't know. Stay posted on my Instagram.
Okay, I will. If you need me to talk to the landlord, just let me know.
Yeah, that'd be great. hi, I need you to talk to my landlord, please, Megan. This is a whole ordeal. I want to talk quickly. Something that I think is going to be relatable to everyone would be light bulbs. I think one of the first gadgets, smart gadgets that people tend to get are light bulbs. And the simplest thing you can do, they sell them in a lot of places. I go to like a local department store and there's like always the boxing storage moving section. And they sell these fantastic containers that are sort of like a grid pattern box. And they come with little plastic or styrofoam sleeves. And they're typically for your glassware. You put your cups and things in them. They are an excellent way to easily organize and store your smart bulbs. I've got a smart bulbs that all need a place to go. I don't like to keep the original packaging for them because it takes up so much space. And having one box, one, you know, regular banker's box size location where I can just slip those bad boys in there and put a lid on it, and I know that they're not going to break, I know they're safely stored, is very handy. So if you've got a lot of bulbs in your house, consider getting one of those really handy containers for glassware whenever you're moving, and you'll have all of them right in one place, and you can figure out where you want them in your new home.
That's such a great idea. I was thinking also maybe those things that you store ornaments in.
Yes, ornaments is another fantastic idea. And here's another one. So I just removed my one of my cameras that I have. And by the way, the Logitech Circle Cam is one of my favorite HomeKit devices as well.
That's an outdoor camera?
This one is indoor. And what I love about it, it's kind of got some paint dust on it, but this comes with an attachment that lets you stick it on the inside of your window, and then this clicks on. And so you can have it looking outside of your house, but you don't have to mount it actually literally outside. So it works as an outdoor facing camera without actually having to be outdoors. Now, Logi Circle does have an outdoor version, so you can get that instead. But this one was great that I bought that little window mount and used that. But the thing that I want to give you a tip about, a lot of people already know about these. I would love it if Santa would just stuff my stocking with literally just Velcro ties. I would put them on everything. I would wear them as jewelry if I could, if I had enough. I love Velcro ties. I have them on all of the wires, on all of the things in my home, but they make it very, very, very simple to quickly and easily kind of store the long wires that typically come with these cameras, unless you have a wireless version. So that's been a very handy thing. A lot of the gadgets that I have, the room sensors and things like that, have power adapters. And so that makes it easy to sort of wrap it up and tuck it away and make it easy for packing and storing.
So it's been a long time since I rented a place. What do you, did you save all the light bulbs that you took out? Like, are you...
Yep.
Oh, you saved all of them and you're just putting them back.
Yeah. So that's one of the things too. For me, it's weird because the smart garage door opener is a very expensive thing. So there's literally no logic to this whole situation that I have about what's convenient and what's not. There's no place in my heart that says, that like allows me to give up my beautiful LED bulbs. I love LED bulbs, whether they're smart or they're not. I like the energy saving, the brightness, the way that you can have one of those little lamps from Target that cost you like 10 bucks. And it's, you know, so cute about only being able to you put like a 40 watt incandescent bulb in. You pop an LED light in there and suddenly you've got like 1,000 lumens of brightness and you aren't using a bunch of energy. I love LED bulbs. So I guess also those should go in my stocking. But the point is, when I moved in, the landlord had used compact fluorescent bulbs, which I hate, first of all, for many reasons. But the warm-up period, the fact that they're not as good as LED bulbs and that some of them, you know, you've got to recycle them in the right way. So when I saw the CFL bulbs, I'm like, no, as long as I live here, there are going to be LED bulbs and everything, whether they're smart or they're not. So I have, alongside the box that has the little Ziploc storage bags in it that has the different hardware for the switches and things, I've got a box that is actually the kind of the box I talked about earlier with the grid squares, and it's all of the lights and they're all labeled to where they go in the house. Cause both of the bathrooms, the vanity mirror has, you know, had four or five lights across the top, and those were all CFL bulbs. All of the candelabra bulbs in, like I said, those three fan fixtures were incandescent, which, like, are we living in 1930? I don't know. that's probably so inaccurate, and I'm sorry, historians. incantations. I said a bad thing, I'm sure. But anyway, who uses incandescent? Are we serious? So I immediately switched those out. But yeah, I'm not giving up my beautiful, lovely, wonderful LED bulbs. So those sapping energy hogs are going right back in there when I move out. But that will be a last day project, because that's a super simple thing to just swap mine out, swap those in, and move on.
And so I know you talked about how you don't want to physically disconnect from the garage door opener. How do you disconnect virtually? How do you disconnect from your IoT devices so you're not still opening the garage door in your new place to your old place?
Yeah. So this is a big thing too, because one of the things as you know, leading up to this episode, I was kind of thinking about other tips to discuss here. And I think something that people need to keep in mind are a lot of these video camera manufacturers, the way that they're making money on their smart cameras is by doing some sort of subscription service. And so if you pay for the monthly subscription service, then you get to see more of the video. You know, you can log on, you can see 24 hours, 7 days a week footage of the male person walking past your house, or the dog, you know, going in your yard, even though it's not your dog. And if you have that subscription service and it's going to be a while, or potentially you won't be setting up the camera in your new home, the first thing you need to do before you do any disconnecting or anything like that is to go and cancel those subscriptions. So I kind of took stock of the things that I had subscriptions for, which for the most part I didn't have. I had a Logicam or a Logicircle subscription, and I had one for my August doorbell lock. So those were canceled, and while I'm still living here and while the August doorbell cam is one that I have not undone yet, because that's going to be another project. So I'm just not going to have those extra features. But you don't want to be in transit or moving into a new place where maybe you won't be using it and you're still getting charged for it. So start there. After that, you can decide, do I want to remove my account completely from individual services? So some of these, you might have, accounts set up with the, I'm trying to think of one, Ecobee, you might have an account set up with them as well as however you have it set up with your HomeKit home. And so do you want to keep that account? Do you sort of want to keep things going there? Keep in mind that some services will send you notifications when things are disconnected. So I kept getting stupid emails from Nest, and I was getting emails from August and push notifications from August at first. So it was just a reminder, oh, I can shut those off. I don't need to know that the thing's disconnected because I chose to do so. And then once you've done that, your last step is to remove it. If you're using HomeKit or you're using the Amazon Echo or you're using one of those, then you can remove it from those. And again, this is kind of all a choice, because you have to think about how you have things set up now. You know, I've got office, I've got master bedroom, I've got guest bedroom, I've got living room, dining room, kitchen, garage, backyard, front yard, hallway, bathroom, guest bathroom. These are all different rooms in my smart home setup. And so all of those bulbs and motion sensors and thermometers and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, are all named according to those things. And unless you're moving into a house that somehow has the exact same layout, which, by the way, if you do that, that's cool. If you don't have the same layout, then you're going to need to change the names of everything anyway. So I find and have found it kind of therapeutic and refreshing to just completely remove everything. And that way I can start fresh whenever I get it set up in my new place. And on top of that, I have not used really any of the Echo commands in a long time, because I am one to make a lot of changes to my smart home and sort of rearrange things, and renaming and reconnecting to the Echo is kind of a complicated process. And so, for example, my Hue setup is all messed up in the Amazon Echo. So I'm kind of looking forward to starting fresh there and having it all get restarted, all get kind of redone. The simple kind of step-by-step process is to cancel your subscription services. If you know that you're not going to be using them, or it's going to be a while before you use them, then go ahead and cancel push notifications and alerts for disconnection. and then decide if you want to keep or remove the accounts from the third parties that make those devices. And then finally, choose to remove them from your HomeKit home itself, because again, your new home is likely to have a different setup than your current home.
And so what do I do if I'm moving into a house that has smart home stuff in it, specifically cameras? I mean, obviously you can be connected. The lock is an important thing too. But let's say I've moved into a new home and it has all this stuff and they've said, look, oh, great, it's already equipped. How do I make sure it's not connected to someone else's home devices?
So first of all, I hate that. And I hate that that is a thing, but it is very much a thing. There are lots of builders groups who have started working, or who have been working for many years, but who have really, as of late, started working with different companies, including Apple and the HomeKit connectivity, to provide sort of a package that's already built in. So you move in and it's got that. My recommendation there is to communicate as much as possible with your land person. Communicate as much as possible with the person who you are like renting or buying the home from, and explain that, like, I can't understate enough how much you should not back down to the privacy concerns that you have and the requirements that you have for having access to these services. You need to be able to say, I want to be able to set my own login. I want to be able to go in and make sure that the guest access is how I want it. Like, you need ultimate control of those things. And if you're not getting it, then I would just so suggest that you say, then I don't want these things in my home. Because there are so many stories that we've seen of folks kind of being tormented by either former partners or from people they don't know who have gained access to their home through these smart gadgets, or are just like messing around with them, unlocking and locking the door because they have that power and thinking it's funny. And there's nothing more unsettling than feeling unsafe in a place where you feel you should be able to feel safe. It's a violation, and like, you deserve the right to be comfortable and at peace and feel safe in your own home. And I don't see how anyone could feel that way if they don't have utter and total control over the smart gadgets that are in their home. So I think that, you know, you kind of really need to communicate with whoever's in charge of that and say, hey, if there are going to be cameras in here, I think that's great if I have full control over it. But if I don't, then I don't want them here. Like, I'd like to see them unplugged and I don't want to use them. And my recommendation there too is to, depending on the, you know, the brand of camera, is to study up, you know, do the research, go to the sites. And if you don't already have the camera, so I'm thinking, like, you know, if you see a Nest in a home and you already have a Nest camera, and so you know how it works, you know what the interface looks like, that's a really handy way to sort of know, okay, I know I have full control because this looks like the one that I bought myself, that it's the same interface, I can see who has guest access, etc. But if it's some third party Amazon camera that cost the people $15 and they thought it was going to add $10,000 to the asking price of the home, then go find that company, find the website, look up the instruction manual, and make sure you're getting deep and full access to those things, and that you have the right and the ability to set the password, set the username, set all of that stuff. That way you can feel comfortable and know that there's not somebody peeping in on those cameras. Ugh. Ugh.
So we'll put links and tips in our show notes, which you can find at twit.tv/iOS. But are you working on a bigger project that or like a piece for anyone where you're going to have all of this information collected?
Yeah. So this is if it doesn't go with my friends over at iMore, then I'm actually thinking about just kind of writing this one up myself. Okay. And, you know, potentially including some images and video and things like that. So stay posted on chihuahua.coffee, chihuahua.coffee for that, because it's got links to my iMore writing and also links to my personal stuff. So you'll be able to see about that. Yeah, because it's an ongoing process and there's a lot involved. And there's a lot that, like I said, kind of comes up as you are getting ready to move to a new place and figuring out where things are going to go and how you want to sort of start the process of moving.
Excellent. And we'll have a link to chihuahuas.coffee in case you have problems smelling chihuahua as I do.
Yes, it is kind of a tough one.
Well, I have the iPad Air 3. We're going to talk about some Apple news. But before we get to all of that, I wanted to take a second to thank Grammarly. Grammarly is a sponsor of this show. And if you write at all, and most jobs do involve some writing, I highly recommend having just a little bit of backup. I was a writing major in college, and I still make so many mistakes. We were sort of, you know, we write so quickly, and we're trained to just not really think about it, sending so many texts. But it makes you look very unprofessional when you're sending out even emails with lots of mistakes. And you don't have to, because Grammarly can help. Grammarly is a writing assistant, and it makes you look and sound smarter. You can start off your new year by easily improving yourself and your communication, whether you're communicating at school or at work or just anywhere, even with friends. Even if you're just trying to impress the neighbors, you can use Grammarly and send a better email. Grammarly will help you show your best self through writing. They're available across platforms, including online browser extensions, a desktop editor, and a mobile keyboard checker. Grammarly is available on all your browsers. So whether you use Chrome or Firefox or Safari or even Edge, they're all there. And they're also available on mobile, iOS, Android, and just straight on your Windows and your Mac. I use the Mac app all the time, and I love it. Their free product reviews, critical spelling and grammar, and then Grammarly Premium looks out for spelling, grammar, and also advanced punctuation, style within context. I use that all the time. So whether I'm trying to be more friendly, I'll put stuff that I'm, you know, writing for my blog, I'll put it in there. I want to be more friendly. But if I want to be more technical, I can just set the checker to that, and it will check according to really, you know, a different style, which is important. You can also check for conciseness. That's an issue that I have. So it's very helpful with that. And readability, depending on the occasion that you're writing for. So if you write a lot of business proposals, if you write a lot of academic essays, if you write casual blogs, you might write all three and have a different style, and Grammarly will help you with that. Accomplish all your goals with help from Grammarly. You can stop all those email typos from your phone. You can't just use that like, oh, forgive me, this was my phone, I sent this from my phone. I don't care. You didn't correct your typo, and I think less of you. I'm judging you. So get Grammarly so I don't judge you. You can polish your resume and get a new job. I love all the unique features. It's something that I've just wanted for so long, and you just never even knew you needed it. And now that I have it, I don't know how I ever lived without Grammarly Premium. Go to Grammarly.com/iOS today to get 20% off your Grammarly Premium account today. That's Grammarly.com/iOS today for 20% off your Grammarly Premium account. And we thank Grammarly for supporting this episode of iOS Today. All right, the iPad Air 3. What are your, I know you, I'm pretty sure you don't have one. Micah, do you have any thoughts on the iPad Air 3?
I mean, I'm excited that there's a budget-friendly big size iPad out there for folks who want one. The iPad has been a great device in my family for folks who don't need a full on computer, mm-hmm. and who are happy with that. And so, yeah, in that case, I think it's great to see new iPads. What are your thoughts? Because you do have one.
I have one, and I have a full review that I'm going to do on Hands on Tech, which is our product review show. So that'll be coming out hopefully this week. But in general, I really like the idea of this middle of the road iPad. So it's, you know, it's budget friendly for someone who wants power. Like, it's not going to replace a MacBook, but I definitely think it has a lot of room to replace the iPad Pro because they have Apple Pencil. It has Apple Pencil support, not support for the new Apple Pencil, but so I can't use this on it, but I can use the old Apple Pencil. And what I also discovered was that you can use the Logitech Crayon, which is that, you know, it's not as pressure sensitive, but it's cheaper. It's only $70, and that works on these iPads and the iPad Mini. So
wait,
I think
so So I have the first iPad. If you hold up the iPad to the camera, can I use my Apple Pencil? I'm just kidding. So this is the original Apple Pencil. So if you're looking, if you have one kind of from the before times, then it'll work with that. And I know people were very excited about the Logitech Crayon. Have you used one of those?
I have. Yeah, I have one. I think it's at my desk, but it's great. I mean, it works great. It charges in a much saner fashion than the old Apple Pencil, which just you stick in the end of the iPad. But this one goes the opposite direction. So just you can charge it with any lightning cable, just like as you would charge an iPad. I'm not a huge fan of the way the new Apple Pencil charges, this magnetic charging, because I think it sucks a little power from the iPad, this one. And I have a case now that I can, that keeps it in a little bit, and I can also put it here. And this is the Zag case, which I love, the Zag keyboard case. But other than before that, it was just sort of falling out, and that wasn't great.
Now, does it charge down there?
No, it doesn't charge down here.
Okay.
But it's at 100%, so it doesn't really need to charge down there. So, so you can keep it in there so it doesn't fall out when you're, or it doesn't suck battery out of your iPad. I never minded bezels. So, like, these, you know, there's no big bezels on the iPad Pro, but they're, that you get bezels. You go back to the days of bezels. And of course, Touch ID, no Face ID on this. But those, I mean, if you're upgrading from an old iPad Air or even just the basic iPad, you don't know what it's like to have Face ID on your iPad. So you don't miss it.
Yeah. I think that, again, this is, you know, some folks were complaining kind of about how it's odd to me because not every device that Apple makes is for everyone. And I think that there is a person for every device that Apple makes. Mm-hmm. And this is for a particular, you know, group of people who don't need the power and the extra cost of the more expensive Pro models and who are just happy kind of getting the next edition of the iPad Air, or, you know, just kind of bumping up. And so, yeah, I mean, overall, I think it's great in terms of adding that pencil support and you being able to use the smart keyboard. Like for me, the smart keyboard is the realization of the iPad. And again, I say for me, because that took what was once kind of a device just for consumption for me, but I very much enjoyed, and turned it into a device that I can actually like use and walk around with and get things done on. And so if we can have this iPad Air that does all of those things as well, and also provides folks with, you know, an ability to express themselves artistically with the pencil, it's all good. It's all great. And it might not be for you, but there is somebody out there that it is good for. And so I'm happy that it exists at that $499 price point.
I am too. So look for my full review on that. And so let's get to some news. Netflix over the weekend, it became clear in their consumer, their support that they were no longer going to support AirPlay. So you could mm-hmm. no longer AirPlay your Netflix from your iPad or your iPhone to Apple, to an Apple TV, or to, I guess, anything that you would AirPlay to. There are lots of new TVs that aren't Apple TVs that are going to support AirPlay, but not with Netflix. Thoughts?
Yeah. So at first I was kind of like, because this is kind of an ongoing thing with Netflix and Apple. You know, Netflix came out very publicly right before Apple's event and said, we are not going to be part of the new Apple TV app and the new stuff that Apple is doing. And we're not into it. We don't dig it, et cetera. And then the event took place and that was the case. And then Netflix is now saying that AirPlay is not, you know, they're not supporting AirPlay. So at first it did feel a little gross, I guess is the right word, where I felt that it was, you know, kind of a retaliation thing. But when I started to think about it, I mean, Megan, have you ever AirPlayed Netflix from your phone or your iPad to your Apple TV?
I haven't, because I subscribe to Netflix on my Apple TV. So I would.
Yeah. But my Apple TV, I used to always say, it's my Netflix box.
Yeah.
And in recent days, in recent months, it's become more than that. There are a few other services that I use. But for the most part, I'm watching stuff from Netflix. It's a Netflix box already, so I don't need it to AirPlay. I understand, you know, overall, like it stinks that there are not as many options available as one would like. And so I understand the frustration there, but I have to wonder how much of the frustration that takes place, particularly sort of in our little sector of the internet, is just kind of a reactionary grumble. And that is maybe the name of my next band, Reactionary Grumble.
That's good.
A reactionary grumble just for the sake of reacting to it. Because not even, you know, when I think about sort of, am I being empathetic and understanding that me as a tech person, I have a different experience from a person who is not steeped in technology every day. And I try to think of sort of the habits of my family as an example of folks who are not steeped in technology. First of all, half of them don't know how to use AirPlay. And second of all, the ones who do know how to use AirPlay would still not AirPlay to their Apple TV Netflix because it's just not like, it's not a good experience. You would just open the Netflix app. So ultimately, I think that, yes, this stinks that, you know, again, there's one less option available. But overall, I don't understand why people are you know, reacting the way that they are so negatively about it. And I would like some more, you know, information about why, you know, they say that the AirPlay is no longer supported for use with Netflix due to technical limitations. I would love to know sort of what is all involved in those technical limitations and how that plays out. But other than that, I'm just kind of, I don't know. It's not that big of a deal for me because I don't think I've ever once AirPlayed from Netflix to an Apple TV.
I mean, even if you're thinking of it in terms of like, well, they don't want, you know, me to bring over my iPad to my friend's house who doesn't subscribe to Netflix and then we'll watch together. I mean, you could just give someone your password. You know, that is also, that would even be, I'm not condoning that, but like that is also a better experience than here, let me AirPlay from my iPad. So it doesn't even seem like, I don't know. What they said is they just can't certify the experience, whatever that means.
Yeah. And you know, if they're going to do more of those, hopefully better than the one that came out, the Benedict Bandersnatch show, where they you like play along. If they're going to do more of those and they can't use AirPlaying from an iPhone or something, you know, like those limitations where they're sort of trying to cut back on the edge cases, so to speak, and just sort of code and create for the experiences that they feel they have better control over, then I understand that as well. So, and you know, whether it's gaining more data on what we watch and don't watch, Netflix is one of those few companies who I want them to know more about me specifically in terms of like what I watch and what I don't, because then they can better recommend things to me. So if they can't certify from AirPlay and they can't quite do the tracking or whatever it is, if it means a better Netflix experience, given that I use my Apple TV to access Netflix essentially, then I'm okay with that. And I will survive. And I think so will lots of folks who are upset about this.
Yeah, it'll be tough, but I think we'll make it through.
I think
this.
We can do it.
Yeah. One more piece of news on AirPlay 2. IKEA announced a few new products. They're not available yet, but I guess they announced them. A lamp speaker with AirPlay 2 capability and a bookshelf speaker. I think these are cute. What do you think?
I was going to say the same thing. I think they're adorable. They have the lamps have some HomePod vibes to them. Mm-hmm. The bookshelf speakers are really nice. They're simple, they're modern, they're clean. They're all of those buzzwords of you know, a nice design look. And frankly, every single product except for the black lamp is a product that I would have in my home. That black lamp, the color of the shade really weirds me out. But other than that, I think these are all beautiful. And, you know, it's not going to be the most amazing audio experience. But the fact that they're partnered with Sonos, you know, it kind of improve. You can count on it being a little bit better than just sort of going to the gas station and buying one of those like $15 speakers that looks like a, I don't know, they look like everything these days, like a flask or something. They've got two Class D amplifiers and tweeters and woofers and all of that stuff. So I'm kind of excited about these. I think it's cool, and more products with AirPlay 2 compatibility is nice as well, because I've enjoyed having AirPlay 2 compatibility for, I like to listen to audiobooks. And so when I'm walking throughout my house, I can play, because of AirPlay 2, I can stream to my Apple TV in the living room, my Apple TV in the master bedroom, and then my HomePod that's in the middle. And so no matter where I am in the house, as I'm kind of doing chores or what have you, or uninstalling a smart garage door opener, hopefully, I can still hear my audiobook no matter where I am. And that is because I can select to stream to all three of those devices at once. So if you think about adding these lamps and these speakers as well, then I'm streaming to six different devices no matter what room I'm in. I can't escape the audiobook. And for me, that's a good experience.
Yeah. And if you already have Sonos, that is also a good experience. Yeah. So $179 for the lamp speaker and $99 for the bookshelf speaker.
So, I think those are really good prices too.
Yeah. We have some feedback, but before we get to that, I want to clear something up because I think I wasn't clear about, there's some chat room chatter about charging the Apple Pencil that I wanted to be clear. The Apple Pencil, the new Apple Pencil and the new iPad Pro, this does charge here. It is charging and it does suck a little bit of battery life out of here. What I meant was that it doesn't charge when I have it in this Zag case. So, right, if I keep it here, it doesn't charge my Apple Pencil and it also doesn't drain battery. So, yes, the app.
Laying it on the iPad is literally the only way to charge the new Apple Pencil,
right?
Correct?
Yes, you can't do any. You can't plug it in.
Can't lay it on a wireless charger. Can't.
No, you just got to. Yeah. You can't stick it in there. You can, but I wouldn't recommend it. It's not going to charge
don't,
it.
But don't, right.
Yeah. Sorry, I was unclear about that. But we got some.
I heard if you rub it back and forth between your fingers, mm-hmm. that will also charge it, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, please don't listen to
no,
me. I'm lying
do that.
To you people.
Actually, yes. If you stick it right into your ear all the way in so it sort of tickles your brain a little bit, it'll charge it.
Oh, no.
Don't do that either. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, I got an email from Ramona, and she was going on vacation to New Zealand. And I said I was not here last week, and Jason Snell sat in for me and Leo, and they chatted about whether Ramona wanted to get, and she was going to New Zealand and she wanted to get a local SIM when she was there because Verizon was going to charge her a crazy amount for an international plan. And she knew the local SIM was going to be cheaper. And they debated and said, you just really need to convince Verizon that, because she was afraid her phone was not unlocked.
Oh, yeah.
But it was unlocked, and she went into, I have good news. She went into the Verizon store and said, can I use a local SIM? And she said at first they were like, and then they were like, yes, you can. So, just a lesson, like if you don't get the right answer from a store, call on the phone. If you don't get the right answer, call back in the store.
Yeah. I mean, just like a quick little anecdote there. My partner went to Australia and he was there for, what was it, 3 or 4 months. And before he left, he went into the AT&T store and said, hey, I'm about to go to Australia. What are my options on doing cell service while I'm there? And the person there told him he needed to pay off his device and have it unlocked if he wanted to be able to use his phone while he was over in Australia. And that seemed like that would be the best way to do it. And while he was there, he would, you know, buy a SIM at a grocery store or whatever. And I trusted that the person at the AT&T store was right about that, and that there was no like international AT&T plan for Australia is what I was told, like through the grapevine. And so I was like, oh, okay, well that kind of stinks, but here's, you know, that makes sense, then buy a card while you're over there. So he ended up spending a bunch of money to pay off the rest of his iPhone 10 and then used a service over there while he was over there. And I just so happened, I was like, I don't know about that. So I looked it up, and AT&T has service for Australia that would have ended up saving him money in the long run. And so, yeah, you can't always trust the first person that you speak to on that. And that's unfortunate because the experts should be experts whenever you're talking to them getting help, but it's just not always the case. So maybe the good recommendation there is to just kind of ask a person and then double check. It's like getting a second opinion from a doctor. You can do that as well via research or by talking to somebody else too.
So Michael sent me an email. He said he was looking for a coloring app that I mentioned sometime in the past 6 months. And he couldn't seem to find it using any number of combination of searches. So I wanted to assure Michael that we are working on our show notes system. It's not, Kevin does a great job of following everything I say, or sometimes just the things I'm thinking in my mind he's got. but it isn't always as easy to find, and we're working on that. But, I think the ones that we mentioned in before were Lake, and then another one called Coloring Book for Me. Which is free with in-app purchases. And then Drawing Pad was a third one that we mentioned, that I think that one was $2, and we like that because he wasn't going to charge you for more coloring pages every week, which some of them did. Mm-hmm. But you had a recommendation, Micah.
Yeah, so I am a little disappointed because the one that I use, it does offer in-app purchases, and it can get kind of pricey, but they do have quite a few free coloring book options. It's called Pigment Adult Coloring Book. That's the full name of it, but I just call it Pigment. And it is number 96 in the entertainment category. It's got a 4.6 rating of nearly 60,000 folks who have rated it. So it's a very popular coloring book app. And I've found it quite delightful and sort of stress relieving and enjoyable. And there are lots of different coloring tools with lots of different textures available. So you can kind of not only just change the colors and find perfect color schemes, but also have, you know, something that looks more like paint, something that looks more like chalk, et cetera, et cetera. So I quite like Pigment for how much is involved and its Apple Pencil pressure support and the ability that you can like tap into an area. And when you color, it just fills in that portion and it doesn't, you know, fill in the whole thing. So it's nice, and it can get pricey if you're not a big colorer and you're not coloring every week, then, you know, sticking with the free ones that are available in the app is probably your best bet.
I'm a big colorer. It's very relaxing.
It is. And it's one of those things you can kind of do without putting too much thought into it. So you can kind of let that just be the zone out kind of zen thing that you do, yeah. Which is nice.
I'm actually watching this video of someone else coloring too.
Yeah, I'm getting relaxed just watching yeah, the video. Frankly.
So maybe you just need to watch videos of other people coloring.
It's like ASMR, but yeah. It's something else. I don't know yet.
Exactly. All right. Well, before we get to our nap cap, I'm going to thank our sponsor, and that might give you some time if you didn't already prepare a hat. Micah.
Oh, I've got a cap.
Good. You've got a cap. Okay. But before we get to see Micah's cap, we're going to spend some time talking about your security. And that's our sponsor, ExpressVPN. Now, it's really easy to think that hacks happen to other people. Oh, no, I don't need privacy. I'm fine. Everything's fine. Well, you may want to think that, but your data is valuable to hackers. It just is. And stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is one of the simplest and cheapest ways for hackers to make money from you, by stealing from you. So when you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you might as well be writing your passwords and your credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the rest of the world to see. And that is why I use personally ExpressVPN. I protect myself from cyber criminals. ExpressVPN is something that will definitely secure and anonymize your internet browsing. They encrypt your data, and they also hide your public IP address. They have easy-to-use apps. They run seamlessly in the background. They run on your computer, on your phone. I even have it on my tablet. So I'm safe everywhere, no matter which devices I'm using. And it only takes one click. So because I do use a lot of devices, it would be a huge pain to have to like install something and have a huge you know, pain installing it and setting it up and configuring it for my iPad and my iPhone and my Mac. And this is just one click. You can safely surf on public Wi-Fi without being snooped or having your personal data stolen. I know we've all been there where we're just like at the airport and we're like, I just want to do a few things. And, well, you know, no one's going to be watching. Well, this service is less than $7 a month. And you can get it right now. It's rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar, and it comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Protect your online activity today and find out how you can get 3 extra months free. That's 3 extra months free with a one-year package at expressvpn.com/iOS today. That's expressvpn.com/iOS today for 3 extra months free with a one-year package. Visit ExpressVPN, that's ExpressVPN.com/iOS today, and learn more about how to protect your privacy. It's time. It's time, friends. All right. Oh, yes.
My second wig for the show.
I don't know. That might be better than the first wig, especially because, okay, so I should have put my hat on first, so because yours is much more exciting, but I'm not sure. I guess this is how mine goes.
Nice.
That's beautiful. Oh, have you ever grown your hair like that?
So my dad used to have dreads, and yeah, he ended up cutting his off, sadly.
And those are them?
I wish, but I've thought about it. So my dad is black, and my mom is white. So I have like a mixed texture hair. And so it is not as dreadable as my dad's hair, who is, you know, fully black. So it is, I'm putting the part the wrong way. So it's kind of a more complicated process for me to be able to dread it. Mm-hmm. I would never have them this long, but I thought it'd be kind of cute to have a little dread. So I'm still thinking about it. Yeah. It's in the process, but yeah. This was part of my pirate costume that I wore for Halloween, I think a couple years ago.
Right, your Johnny Depp costume?
That's what everybody said, but I was like, no, I'm just a standard pirate because Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
No, not him.
Yeah, okay, sorry, yeah.
Well, that's okay, no.
All right, so you can go first with your app because yours is more fun, and I have it here. Or do you have it on yours too?
Mine is super silly.
Okay.
Yeah, I do have it here. But yeah, you go ahead if you want to pull it up for everybody to see. It doesn't know who I am because of my wig.
Oh, you mean your iPad?
There we go. Now I'm in. Okay. So the app is called Voloco. And it is an app that lets you do beats and auto-tuning. You choose select a beat. Audio is fine, but choose select a beat. And then choose Voloco Beats. And then pick one. You know, you can kind of listen to the one that you want. So I'm going to pick, let's see, Midsummer Madness.
Okay.
And I'll select that. And then they say it's best with headphones, and it genuinely is because it can't hear you. It can't like repeat the hearing process. Oh, go ahead and click start at the bottom there.
Okay, wait. I didn't pick what you picked. I picked.
Oh, that's okay. Let's see. You can choose a different one. Yeah.
Midsummer Madness.
Yeah, I think that was what mine was called, Midsummer Madness.
Can I search? No. Is it alphabetical?
Mine was just on the hot tracks.
Hot.
It doesn't matter. You could just choose a different one if you'd like.
I'm going to choose Gotta Flex.
All right. Yes. So slow. Yeah.
Okay. Wait, am I not? Nice, I'm listening to it. Okay. So select.
Yeah. Go ahead and click select.
Select. Okay.
And then perfect. So here at the bottom, you'll see there's key, there's effect, there's mix, and there's mastering. So if you tap on key, go ahead and choose blues.
Okay.
And then under effect, hard tune is the best one, I feel. Oh, yeah, sorry. Once you pop out of scale, go to effect. Hard tune is the best for this fun thing that we're going to do.
Okay.
But there are lots of different options, and some are kind of under the pay-to-play kind of thing. And then under mix, go ahead and turn off vocal monitor since you're not wearing headphones currently. Oh, sorry. Go ahead and hit the arrow down button. And then under mix, turn off vocal monitor at the top there. And then go ahead and hit the arrow down button. And then now we'll tap the red record button. and go ahead and just like start singing as you're listening to that beat, whatever you want to say. Okay. You could even just speak something if you want to.
But I was going to sing all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies.
Okay. Okay. And then hit stop.
Okay.
And then now.
Oh, wait. Is it? Okay. Oh, was I already recording?
I was going to sing all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies.
I sound really good.
Isn't that beautiful and gorgeous and wonderful? I'm pretty sure that was Beyonce singing just then.
So.
Holy moly. Bow down, friends, because we can't say that word.
That's I'm going to save. I could save and
save
share
that track. You need to send that to what's his name? One of the people that runs a record company.
Yeah.
Send that to that person.
Exactly. Oh, and I could do video too.
Yeah. So the video lets you, I haven't experimented a whole lot with the video, but with the free to play, it's just like a Voloco. Oh, I guess it does now let you do actual video.
All so the you single can, ladies.
All the single ladies.
So what I found this to be great for is just annoying your friends and family with auto-tuned music.
Oh yeah.
I wrote a little song for my friend, one of my friends, Tori, and sent it to her. And she was like, I have no idea what just happened. And then I sang a song for my partner. And, you know, I probably should have written a song for iOS today. And I'm sad that I didn't now. But there are just so many different options where you can kind of play around. And even if you just like want to annoy someone with a phrase that's auto-tuned, it's kind of fun. So that is Voloco, and it's, you know, if you're actually good at you know, singing or rapping or what have you.
Like
with
me.
Yes, exactly. Like the wonderful talent that was Megan Maroney's All the Single Ladies. put a ring on it. Then you should get this app and have some fun with it. And if you're not, still get this app and have some fun with it because it's just goofy and silly and fun.
And free.
And free with in-app purchases.
But we got, I mean, I got pretty far without having to make any
you did.
Purchases.
You made your viral track that someone's going to upload to YouTube and like double auto-tune.
That so someone it's might be me. I'm going to send it to Colleen. I always like to airdrop things to people. And Jerry, whenever their airdrop shows up. So they'll get that and it'll
That's
be
beautiful.
Mine is a little more practical, just a little more practical.
Depends on how you define practical, but okay.
Have you wanted to improve your vocabulary?
So that I can put more words in my songs that I auto-tune.
Exactly,
absolutely.
Yes. So this is a vocabulary builder by Magoosh. And I thought, I don't know who Magoosh is or if he is a he.
They haven't taught you that word yet.
No. But it is, so if you're preparing for the GRE or the TOEFL, which I guess that's the English language test, and the ACT, you can use this to get better at all these vocabulary. So I'm going to, let's start with the easy English learner words. And then we can do common words and start this level and approach. And then you can just say, move closer. Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Actually, I think since we both speak English, let's try a harder one.
Let's make it difficult.
let's do the hardest. So
okay.
I've been,
advanced.
Let's start the intermediate. Intermediate. Oh, that's, let's try advanced. You're right. Okay. Advanced level. Vilify.
I believe that's to accuse, correct? No, wait, speak, oh boy, it could be accuse or speak ill of, right? Whenever you vilify someone, aren't you saying like, they're the worst?
I think it's speak ill of. Let's try, because you're not accusing them of, well,
Let's try speak ill of.
Correct.
Yay!
broadside.
I would say the closest thing there is verbal attack,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. Plotting.
Is that a London word?
I think it's slow moving.
Slow moving, yeah. Plodding along.
Mm-hmm. Cogent.
Oh, golly. I always forget this one. I think it means thoughtful. if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. Oh.
Yes. Oh, no, we were wrong.
We were wrong.
Was it? Convincing. Cogent argument.
Yeah.
Oh, so then, I love this. I love this a lot.
Arrogate?
I never heard of you.
Me neither. Oppose or...
I would not say nourish because that's more like aerate.
Yeah.
To arrogate. I like oppose. I like oppose.
I'm torn between oppose and seize with authority.
Oh, you were right. Arriving, seize without authority.
And then maybe we're not even pronouncing it right. Let's listen to it.
Arrogate.
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 Arrogate. Arriving at the small town, the outlaw arrogated the privileges of a lord, asking the frightened citizens to provide food, drink, and entertainment.
So, you mean like, I'm on your ship and I'm going to arrogate all your booty.
Yes, exactly. That's your arrogating wig. I don't know why I'm so blurry here. My Zach stand is just...
I like that. I'm going to label this my arrogating wig now.
Yes, that's your arrogating wig. So with the way this works is like it'll keep showing. It would show us arrogate again, and it would show us the other word we got again, but it would not show us the words that we got again that we got. All right. So, yeah, Vocabulary Builder by Magoosh. It looks like it's also available on your Amazon Echo. So if you're,
That's a good place to have it. Yeah.
So just, I am a fan, even though I'm not going to take the GRE or the, TOEFL exam or anything. I'm just a fan for, you know, cause
learning new words is fun, or like reminding yourself of words that you once learned that you haven't used in a while. Mm-hmm. Also fun.
Right.
And again, how would I have known about arrogate without this? This is I'm definitely downloading that app. That seems like it'll be a good time.
So speaking of a good time, I had a good time. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. Truly.
Thanks for coming.
Of course. Happy to be here. Anytime you need me. I'm going to have to find some new wigs, though, because I just have the two.
Yeah.
So next time I'm on, I'll have to come up with a new cap.
Maybe we'll send you this one, which always appears here and I never choose it.
Yes. It's so cute.
Micah Sargent, chihuahuas.coffee, the Clockwise podcast. I noticed you had a link to broadcasts on Twitter, but are you broadcasting on Twitter?
That is something new that I was experimenting with. So Twitter lets you do audio broadcasts now. And I don't know, I shouldn't say now because I don't know how long it's been an option, but it used to just be video like Periscope. And I was looking up recently and just playing around and they let you do audio broadcasts. So I did a little one where I was just kind of testing it out to see, but it's kind of fun to do like a live podcast there for a minute. So who knows? I've been thinking about doing some streamy type stuff. There it is. Yeah. And it shows your little icon and has kind of a waveform in the background, and people tuned in and they were helping me answer questions about what the experience was like. And it's kind of fun. So, you know, keep your eye out. I might be playing around in the streaming stuff. My little brother is like I guess this is like a professional Twitch gamer streamer person thing. I don't know what it is. He recently moved to Florida and plays, I think it's called Overwatch, and is like a partner and does all that stuff. So I'm like following in his footsteps a little bit, trying to learn how it all works. So I'm like, teach me your ways, young man.
Are you going to say what his YouTube channel is?
Oh, yeah. His Twitch handle is just Daric, D-A-R-I-C.
D-A-R-I-C. Okay. So
I don't know how he got that. That's literally his first name. And I don't know how he got that, but he got that. And I think that's his Twitter I think that's his Twitter handle too. Twitter.com/Daric.
He's not doing anything right now.
Yeah, I don't think he's streaming currently, but you can follow him on Twitter and catch it whenever he's doing his streams. I think it's called Overwatch. I don't know.
that is a game that people play.
Okay, good. Then that's a good first step. It's probably that one then. It sounds familiar.
So you also appear on the iMore podcast pretty regularly.
Yes. Every Friday we do the iMore podcast and it is video as well. So you can catch us live on that every Friday. And we have a good time. That's usually with Renee Ritchie, Georgia Dow, who we love, Lori Gill, who often shows up on MacBreak Weekly. And Twit, And yeah, I also do a podcast called Unhelpful Suggestions with my pal Joe Rosensteel. And that is it's a tech podcast, but we end up spending most of the time talking about food. And I've recently added animal facts to the list, so there's always a new animal fact to learn. So it's a good time as well.
And are you still doing a podcast with Tiffany Arment?
Oh my God, yes. Somehow I manage. I think we are this Thursday, we publish every week, and this Thursday will be our 54th episode. So we've been doing it for more than a year now. It's a podcast about The Office. It's called Somehow I Manage, and it's on the Incomparable Network, which is Jason Snell's podcast network. So if you are a fan of The Office and you want a retrospective rewatch podcast, then you can check that out with me and Tiffany Arment, who does some other podcasts as well. Like, I think it's called Playing for Fun with Mike Hurley of the Relay Network.
Well, Micah, thank you so much. And
thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you and you and you and our studio. We have a studio audience as well. He snuck in there.
Oh, hi, studio audience. I didn't know you were there. Hello.
There he is.
Oh, I see the waving.
You can subscribe to iOS Today, and please do. It's important that you do. Each time you subscribe, I know which camera to look at. We just need more subscribers so that I can figure out which camera I'm supposed to look at, because apparently I was having some issues with that. Go to twit.tv/iOS and you can find out all the ways to subscribe, and you can subscribe to the audio, and you can subscribe to the video as well, and then you'll know when to get it. You can also watch on YouTube, and you can subscribe on YouTube as well. And you can join us live, like our friend who's here in the studio. Just go to tickets at twit.tv and you can be here. And it's nice. It's nice. Tuesday's a nice day to come, because you can come and then you can see MacBreak Weekly, and then you can see Security Now. And it's a full day. If you want to check out our show notes that we're working on, go to twit.tv/iOS, and that you can find all the links of everything that we talk about. And email me. I'm Megan at twit.tv. I love to get your emails and love to get your videos. So thank you so much. And thank you, Micah.
Thank you, Megan.
See you next week on iOS Today.